Support for Classical Music According to Yehuda comes from the Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for over 25 years, offering independent living on two campuses in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts. Lathrop.Kendall.org. In this week's Classical Music According to Yehuda, Alan Shartok and Yehuda Hanani begin a series of conversations about female composers.
So Yehuda Hanani, I guess I've always been interested in the fact that you're interested in women composers. You know, it's not every male musicologist or performer who says, you know, we really have to do more and know more about women. So it goes way back, doesn't it?
It sure does, because, it was a political, religious, there are many, many reasons why women were not equal to men when it comes to writing music. And it's not only music, I mean, it's in the arts in general. It's there was a certain role casting always.
Well, which goes on to this day, doesn't it?
It goes on
until women are regarded as owned property and you know, not exactly equal partners.
Yeah. You know, we consider ourselves a democracy,
right?
But until 100 years ago, half the population could not vote.
Exactly.
It's incredible to think of it. And once they got their political voice, they also were freer to have their artistic voice.
So is that true?
They began to sculpt, they began to write. Yeah, absolutely.
So
they were more outspoken. And it still is an ongoing battle. So I thought we can contribute to make amends and really introduce some of the women throughout history who were important and fascinating in the field of music. It's changing and it's improving. I still find that women composers are less often played on the radio. And,
it's true.
Not as recognized.
It's true, but before you go on, I just want to say that, you know, I know that you and your wonderful series, Close Encounters, had a lot of women perform.
We have commissioned women composers, and we have a lot of women performers, of course. When Bach turned 50, he compiled a genealogy of a few generations of musicians in his family in the Bach dynasty. And there were 53 excellent musicians, all professional, and all males.
Yeah,
so,
disgusting.
And this bias is unfortunate because we know that all those males, all the members of the Bach family, were very keen on marrying women from musical families, so to preserve the gene, so to speak.
So when they had the children, and if they had a male child, that male child would have the genealogy.
Right. And of course, wives and daughters were all trained musicians. Bach's own wives, two wives, were singers. So let's go back, really far, far back. I chose Sappho. Most likely, she is the most famous woman poet in the Western world. Now, she lived, of course, in Lesbos, and she was there in the 7th and 6th centuries BCE, before Common Era. Most of her output, lyric works, and of course her music, we know that she sang her works, are lost. There was no notation at the time for music. There was no way to write it down, to record
certainly
it.
No recordings.
So we have no idea what it was, but we know that she wrote poem and music. Most of her poems are lost, as I said, but some poems and fragments of poems were preserved by other writers. And there were some papyrus finds recently with some of her poems. Most of her work is sensuous, erotic, has erotic beauty to it. And of course, those poems were the subject of both admiration and moral criticism and reproach, reproof, depending on who was the reader.
Yeah. But when you say erotic, was it pornographic?
That's a strange word to use when you poetically describe passion and love and physical excitement. I don't know.
Well, what was the purpose of the poem? Was it to arouse somebody?
What is the purpose of love poetry in general?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a certain distinction, as the Supreme Court of the United States once, one wag once wrote, I'll know it when I see it.
Right. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Right.
There is a famous Greek vase showing here, a red figure, playing a string instrument with very long strings, sort of like a sitar. And the Mixolydian mode, highly emotional mode of music, is attributed to her by later generations. You know that we have major and minor only now in our music.
Yes, yes.
These are two modes. The Greeks had quite a few other modes
really?
Of music. Dorian, Lydian, Mixolydian. And each one conveyed different sensation, different mood. And actually, the closest you can get is if you play on the piano, the white keys from F to F, you will have a Mixolydian mode.
F to F.
Oh, it's very exotic, very, very evocative mode. And this is the mode that she used for her poetry. This beguiling style has been imitated by later poetry, by Latin poets later on, by German poets, in spite of the fact that her poetry addresses sensually other girls. A name of a husband and a daughter came down in history to us. And my favorite description of her poet is by Plutarch. Plutarch, who lived about 700-800 years after her, that is first century. And he says, her words are mingled with fire, and in her songs, she draws up from her heart a violent heat.
Wow.
That's a nice way to describe erotic poetry. We are going to, since we don't have music to accompany her, we are going to hear Sarah Leduc read two fragments and one full poem that were preserved from Sappho from 3,000 years ago.
Love shook my heart. Love shook my heart like the wind on the mountain, troubling the oak trees. He's equal with the gods, that man. He's equal with the gods, that man who sits across from you, face to face, close enough to sip your voice's sweetness. And what excites my mind? Your laughter, glittering. So when I see you, for a moment, my voice goes. My tongue freezes. Fire, delicate fire in the flesh, blind, stunned, the sound of thunder in my ears. Shivering with sweat, cold tremors over the skin. I turn the color of dead grass, and I'm an inch from dying. But you, Odika, with lovely garlands in your hair. But you, Odika, wreathe lovely garlands in your hair. Weave shoots of dill together with slender hands, for the graces prefer those who are wearing flowers, and turn away from those who go uncrowned. Poetry by Sappho. Close Encounters with Music and the Carey Institute for Global Good present the Catskill High Peaks Festival August 7th through the 17th. For more information, visit catskillhighpeaksmusic.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.